Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to the Bible Crossfire radio program. We allow you to call in and make your, ask your Bible questions, make your Bible comments. And I think everybody that's listening can agree that the Bible is our source of authority, not what Pat thinks, not what we think is best, not what is necessarily politically correct, not necessarily what's going to bring in the most people. Whatever God says, that's going to be have to be the way it goes. Let's believe, teach, and practice what God says and let the chips fall where they may. The last several weeks, we've been talking about Calvinism. And one of the critical points of Calvinism, one of the central points, is unconditional election. TULIP, T-U-L-I-P, T for total depravity, U for unconditional election, L for limited atonement. Jesus only died for the saved, the elect. But the Calvinist, the true Calvinist, believes that salvation is unconditional. But I want you to think about Jeremiah 18, 7 through 10. It says, here's how that reads. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. So God's favor upon a nation is clearly conditioned, there's our word, conditioned upon its attitude and actions. Lanny from Mississippi, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Can you show me an example in the Bible of anyone who ever lost their salvation, please?
Okay. Let's look. I think I could show you at least a couple dozen places. So it's hard for me to pick.
Okay, there's so many. Show me one.
Yeah. All right. How about Revelation 3, verse 5?
Have you ever lost your salvation?
He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So here's a person who's in the book of life. That's the list of the names of all the saved people, but the implication is his name will be blotted out if he does not overcome temptation, persecution. So if he's in the book of life, and this verse shows that he can be taken out of the book of life, that would conclusively prove that he was saved and then he lost his salvation. See that, Lanny?
In the case of Lot, when the Bible says it vexed his righteous soul daily when he's in Sodom and Gomorrah, it says over in 2 Peter that delivered just Lot. That don't mean by himself, it means he was justified. Explain that. Lot didn't lose his salvation.
I didn't say Lot did, but here's a case in Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer who did. Here's Simon. It says, then Simon himself believed also, just like the other Samaritans. Verse 12, it just got through saying that the Samaritans believed Philip. They were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed also. Simon became a Christian in Acts 8, 13. He did what Jesus said to do to become a Christian. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Then Simon sinned. And here's what verse 20, what Peter said to him. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. So there's another clear case besides Revelation 3, 5.
Okay.
Simon the sorcerer became a Christian. Hold on. Simon the sorcerer became a Christian. Later he sinned. He tried to buy the gift of God with money. And Peter said, you need to repent. You're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. He lost his salvation. Make sense, Lanny?
That don't satisfy me. I want to ask you something else.
Okay,
When the Church of Christ was organized by Mr. Campbell, the people that were born before the Church of Christ started, what happened to them?
Okay. The Church of Christ, the way we understand it, was organized and started by Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew 16, 18, he says, I will build my church. That's the church that we're talking about here, the Church of Christ, the church that belongs to Christ, started in that first century, and there's been saved people added to that church, Acts 2:47, ever since. Here's another verse where I'd like you to consider, Lanny. Here's James 5, 19 and 20. It says, Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, now the New King James will say, wander from the truth. It says, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. So he's talking to brethren here. He says the brother in Christ, let me finish, he wanders from the truth like a little child wanders from the house. That means he was at the house, he left the house. Here's a brother that wanders from the truth. We're supposed to try to convert him back. He errs from the truth. If we convert him back, we save his soul from death, cover a multitude of sins. Meaning if he refuses to be converted back, his soul is going to die and his sins won't be covered.
Right,
clearly,
well,
a brother in Christ,
he
wonders from the truth, he's going to be lost. Go ahead, Lanny.
And Book of John, when it says, and I give them unto them eternal life, and no man, and that word no is no man is put in there for clarification, shall pluck them out of my hand. Is if the devil is stronger than God, and he is stronger than Jesus, why did he ever let us get saved to start with? Well,
John.
Well, he takes our salvation. Jesus can't keep us saved. We've got to have him.
No, we're not talking about Satan taking our salvation. We're talking about us voluntarily giving it up. Now, notice in John 10:28.
Why would you give up your salvation? You talk about the Baptists believe all this stuff, and if a man can live the way of the world.
So, Lanny, I would ask the same question. Why would you give up your salvation? I don't know why, but people do it all the time. And this verse you quoted in John 10 says, I give them eternal life, verse 28, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That word pluck ought to tell you what this is talking about. You know, pluck, when somebody plucks you from somewhere, that means they're taking you against your will. Nobody can take me against my will out of the hand of Christ. But this doesn't say anything about me, whether or not I can voluntarily leave Christ. This is talking about somebody being able to pluck me. Even Satan himself can't pluck me out of the Lord's hand. But I can voluntarily leave. You can tell that from the word pluck.
You can't keep yourself saved. If Jesus don't keep you, you're not going to make it either.
So here's another passage I would like Lanny to consider. It's Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. Here's Galatians 5, 4. Now, all these verses are very conclusive, very easy to understand, not ambiguous at all. And they all prove that a Christian can lose his salvation. The only thing Lanny has going for him is wishful thinking. Lanny wants to believe. Love you, Lanny. Lanny wants to believe that you can't lose your salvation. That's all he's got. He doesn't have any Bible. We saw that from John 10. Don't mean to disrespect Lanny. I'm just telling you the truth. Every verse in the Bible that tells you whether or not a Christian can lose his salvation says that he can. And there's dozens of them. Here's another one. Galatians 5:4 says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, the Baptists say that a Christian can't fall from grace. But Paul says, by the inspiration of God, here's some Galatians. They were trying to be justified by the old law. Ye are fallen from grace. So God says you can fall from grace. The Baptist Church says you can't fall from grace. That's pretty clear.
He said, if you're saved, you're saved. And it's just that simple. You can't show me. Do you know anybody that ever lost their salvation? Have you ever lost yours? Because you've sinned. You can.
So I've known, there was this guy named Farrell Till that came to Huntsville. He was an atheist. He came to debate atheism. Debated a friend of mine, Tommy Thrasher. He contended in the debate, Farrell Till did, about 15 years ago. There is no God, and the Bible's not the word of God. But when Farrell Till was a young man, say 25 or 30 years old, he was a gospel preacher so zealous that he went to France to preach as a missionary. So, yes, I'm very confident that Farrell Teal was a Christian at one time, and then I know he lost his salvation because he turned out to be an atheist. Now, I'm going to start reading in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2. It says, in the middle of this verse, it says, the Lord is with you while you be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So the Lord is with you while you be with him. What does that imply? That if we quit being with the Lord, he'll quit being with us. And then, of course, that's confirmed by the end of the verse. It says, if you forsake him, if you forsake the Lord, he will forsake you. You see that,
he
man?
He will not, but my Bible says he will not ever leave me nor forsake me. Is that not what it says?
No, that's...
Is that not what it says?
He says that about... Lanny, he says that about a faithful Christian. But well, here's 2 Chronicles 15, too. He says, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So that's your Bible. That's the King James Version. It says he will forsake you if you forsake him. The passage in Hebrews 13 about he'll never forsake you.
How can you forsake him? How can you leave somebody? How can you leave him? Because his spirit don't leave you. You still know when you do wrong, when you make a mistake, you sin. Did he leave you?
Lanny, that's a good question. How can you leave somebody? That you can. The Bible teaches that you can. That you have to love God enough to believe what he says. Now I'm looking at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So we're talking about brethren here. Now, not just brethren because they're of the same race. This is holy brethren. Same word as sanctified. These brethren have been cleansed of their sins. They were partakers of the heavenly calling. That has to be a Christian. Only a Christian has actually partaken of the heavenly calling. God calls everybody, but only a Christian has partaken of that. Then it says in verse 12, talking to these holy brethren, clearly Christians, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So he's warning these Christians, these brethren, against developing an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. So it's possible. We might have somebody like Lanny say, how could you do that? Well, I don't know. Lanny may not know, but this verse says that it's possible. You don't warn people in North Alabama about sharks. Beware of sharks, because we're not near the ocean. God doesn't warn people against things that are impossible to happen, and he's warning these Christians, these brethren, people that have been born again against developing an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. So it's possible. Now Baptists may not think it's possible, but God says that it is. And in John 3:36, Jesus said, or John says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. So here in Hebrews 3:12, here's some believers, those that were saved, partakers of the heavenly calling. They've been sanctified, cleansed of their sins. Now they develop an evil heart of unbelief and depart from God. And John 3:36 says, since they're now unbelievers, they're lost. That's pretty clear. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. We've been talking about, well, that was a Calvinistic position, once saved, always saved, the P in TULIP. We've been talking about the U, the unconditional election. Let's talk about how that the fact that God gives us a choice implies that our salvation is not unchangeably set, it's conditional. For example, Joshua 24:15 says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So we can either choose to serve God or serve these false gods. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. The fact that we have a choice proves that salvation is conditional. We have a choice. God died, Jesus died for everybody, but we choose to serve God or not. The Calvinistic position, unconditional salvation means we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. But the fact that this verse says we do have a choice proves that salvation is conditional. Psalms 119 verse 30, God says, the writer of Psalms, maybe David, says, I have chosen the way of truth. He chose that way. He had a choice. It's not unconditionally set. How about Isaiah 66:4 and 65:12? I also will choose their delusions. They did choose that wherein I delighted not. So the same word is used for God's choice and for our choice. God chooses and we choose. We choose God. That proves that salvation is conditional. We have a choice about whether or not to be saved. Our salvation is conditioned upon whether or not we choose to serve the Lord or not. Judges 5:8, they chose new gods. You either choose to serve the true God or false gods. Now, here's Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. This, I think, is very significant when it comes to this idea of unconditional salvation. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him." This would be Calvinism's version of Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock it down. Only the elect will be allowed to hear my voice, and they will do nothing, as I will already have come into him previously." Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." The Calvinistic version of that verse should read, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock it down. Only the elect will be allowed to hear my voice, and they will do nothing, as I will already have come into him previously." But this verse clearly shows that we have a choice about whether to serve the Lord. Salvation that Jesus provides for everybody is conditioned upon whether or not we choose to serve the Lord. Salvation is conditional. The you and tulip, the unconditional election position of the Calvinists, is, we've been talking about for 3 or 4 weeks, it's proven false. If you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. And then the L in tulip, limited atonement. That's part of the Calvinistic position, that Jesus only died for the elect, the saved. But let's look at some verses that show that Jesus died for everybody, not just the people who end up being saved. For example, Hebrews 2:9. Talking about Jesus, it says that he should taste death for every man. Now, is there anything hard to understand about that verse? Nothing. Talking about Jesus, it said he should taste death for every man. The Calvinist position is that he didn't taste death for every man, that he only tasted death for what they call the elect. But this verse says he tasted death for every man. The limited atonement is false, that Jesus died for everybody. How about 1 Timothy 4, verse 10? Talking about Jesus, it said, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Well, the "especially of those that believe" would imply that he's also the Savior of people who don't believe, right? He's the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Especially, meaning he's also the Savior of men who don't believe. Well, how is he the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe? That means he provides the salvation for everybody. He dies for everybody, but only the believers take advantage of that. That's exactly opposite of what Calvinism says. And then 1 John 2, verse 2, it says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So Jesus is the propitiation, not just for the sins of the Christians, but also for the sins of the whole world. The Calvinistic position is that he's only the propitiation for the elect, for the Christians. But 1 John 2:2 says he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, not for the Christians only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And then 1 Timothy 2 verse 6 says, talking about Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. What's hard to understand about that word "all"? He gave himself a ransom for all. Now, why is this important? Because if Jesus only died for the elect, certain people like Lanny, but not Pat, then that means only Lanny can be saved. And since Jesus didn't die for me, I can't be saved. But if Jesus died for everybody, then that means everybody has a choice about whether or not they want to be saved. I can be saved because Jesus died for me. I can choose to serve God and Jesus and be saved. If I choose not to, then I won't be saved. But Jesus didn't die for me, then I wouldn't have that choice because Jesus didn't die for me. Nicholas from Odessa, Texas. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please. Nicholas, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
quickly go ahead with your question or comment, please. We're about to have to go off the air in just a few minutes.
So if I live in a household filled with negative energy and I've had a demon come into my dream and offer me a deal, what exactly should I do?
So in Zechariah, the early part, Zechariah 2 says, the unclean spirits will pass out of the land. And they did. So there are no demons, demon possession today. None of that goes on today. Here are some passages that show that even people who Jesus died for can be lost. Again, showing that Jesus didn't just die for the saved, he died for everybody. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 11, it says, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. You see the possibility? Here's a brother in Christ. Christ died for him. But the possibility is he could perish based upon 1 Corinthians 8, verse 11. It's talking about perishing spiritually. It's possible for somebody who Jesus died for to be lost. And that's because the limited atonement position is false. The limited atonement Calvinistic position is that Jesus only died for the saved. So that everybody he died for is going to be saved. If that's true, how could this brother perish for whom Christ died? That's impossible. How about Romans 14, 15 and 23 put together? It says, if thy brother be grieved, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. He that doubteth is condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of flesh, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Here's somebody for whom Christ dies, he doubts, and he eats, and he's condemned if he eats. Do you see that? It's clearly somebody Christ died for, but he's condemned. The Bible, the King James actually has a little bit stronger word. It says D-A-M-N-E-D, the strongest word we have in the Bible for being lost. And this is talking about somebody for whom Christ died is going to be condemned. All right? According to the Calvinistic position, no. Jesus died for the elect. All the people that Jesus died for are going to be saved. They're the elect. And Jesus didn't die for everybody. The people he didn't die for can't be saved. Here's somebody whom Jesus died for who's going to be lost. So that shows that Jesus died for more than just the elect, more than just the saved. How about 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1? It says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in condemnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Here's some false teachers. They're going to bring in condemnable heresies. They're going to be lost. They're denying the Lord that bought them. So Jesus died for them. Jesus died for these people who are going to be condemned. Jesus didn't just die for the saved, the elect. He died for everybody. And that's so critical to God's plan of salvation. Everybody, anybody can be saved. Because Jesus died for everybody, that means anybody who's willing to trust and obey Christ can be saved. The Calvinistic position is, no, Jesus only died for a certain few. Only those few even have an opportunity to be saved. Everybody else cannot be saved no matter how much they believe in and love Christ, because Jesus never died for them. But that's the limited atonement theory by Calvinism. That didn't have anything to do with the Bible. The Bible clearly teaches that Calvinism is wrong. The Bible clearly teaches he died for everybody. The Bible clearly teaches, as we've been going over, babies are born innocent of sin, Ecclesiastes 7:29. The Bible clearly teaches in passages like John 3:16, salvation is conditional. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible clearly teaches that once saved, always saved is false. We went over that in the first part of the program, 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. A person escapes the sins of the world through the knowledge of Christ, a Christian. If he falls back into sin, he's entangled again in the sins of the world. The latter end is worse with him than the beginning. 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. He loses salvation. He becomes a Christian. Then he goes back into the sins of the world. He loses his salvation. All five of the Calvin's points, TULIP, all five of them are taught to be false by the Bible. If you would like to have a free 1-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753. Again, Free Bible study with me on the phone anytime at your convenience, 256-682-9753.